Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Sir Keir Starmer is expected to say that a permanent ceasefire could risk more violence in Israel and Palestine at the moment. The Labour leader will make a speech later calling on global leaders to work towards restoring peace in the Middle East. Around 400,000 NHS patients who've been waiting longer than 40 weeks for appointments are going to be asked to see whether they'd be willing to travel to another hospital to speed up their care and reduce waiting lists. Our reporter George Icke has the details.
It's a move that is thought likely to involve the use of the NHS's matching platform, which is a new facility. The platform was designed to make the most of available hospital beds across the country, all in the aim to speed up wait times.
Dominic Cummings, the former chief advisor to Boris Johnson, who fell foul of lockdown rules, will face questions at the COVID-19 inquiry today. And the cast of the TV show Friends say they're utterly devastated by the death of Matthew Perry. Officials are awaiting the results of toxicology tests. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Peggy Walker.
Worn out, busy day. Don't let tiredness get in the way when you just can't get going. Barocca can help you face the lag. Formulated with 11 vitamins and minerals, including vitamins B6 and 12 to help support energy release and reduce tiredness and fatigue. Barocca, face the lag. Barocca contains vitamin C, B vitamins 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 9, 12, and magnesium and zinc.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hi, I'm Austin Obi-Cherry, a bowel cancer screening specialist. Believe it or not, your next trip to the toilet could save your life. If you receive an NHS bowel cancer screening kit in the post, you should complete it as soon as possible. You do it privately at home by following a few simple steps. Just a tiny sample detects signs of cancer before you notice anything wrong. If you're sent a bowel cancer screening kit, put it by the loo. Don't put it off. For more information, visit nhs.uk/bowel screening.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Hi, I'm Debbie Sledge.
And I'm Camille Sledge.
And you're listening to
Colourful Radio.
Come and get lost in music with us.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colourful radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are connecting to us from. Another wonderful time. Join us. It's Africa in Focus once again. And I'm your host, Julius Baluto. We're coming to you all the way from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. So join us this wonderful morning. We are so much privileged today. We are hosting a great lady. She's done a lot of work globally. So we are talking about Anu Menda. She's the founder and managing trustee of RMZ Foundation from India. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Julius. Thank you. And good morning to everybody from London.
Yeah, we are so happy to have you on board here. You see, I love the idea that we can all travel from different places and you're all doing wonderful work, contributing to the wellness of humanity. And it's fantastic to see the great work you are doing. So I'd like maybe you to just introduce yourself to our listeners and, you know, share what you do, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Sure, thank you. The RMZ Foundation, we were founded and established in 2015, and our multifaceted mission was focusing on empowering society, democratizing the arts, and supporting community through innovation, positive change, and sustainable solutions to social and economic challenges. But the idea ultimately is to shape a resilient tomorrow in alignment with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. We have three verticals broadly. One is an art vertical, one is sustainable housing, and the other is urban innovations, which will create changes by social entrepreneurs for a positive impact on humanity at large. And we're here at Freeze Week, more on focus with our art vertical. And I think the idea of the art, the arts that we celebrate and believe in is to bring contemporary culture conversations to the world at large, to break boundaries. And our focus thus far has been on large-scale sculptural installations, which means to say we're trying to bring public art to a larger audience. We have the ability to create these platforms within the urban scape because we have these large-scale developments which are you know, eco parks and these other mixed use developments which could be a mix of residential, commercial buildings, as well as these other spaces that could create a base and a platform just as a sculptural park would be in any other setting. We use the landscape of a built environment in an urban setting to create a platform to democratize the arts and bring it to a larger audience. So not just to the community of people that work with, or the working populace within that space, but make it accessible to everybody in and around the area, which is the neighborhood and anyone and everyone else who inhabits it, a visitor to the park, as well as people who work within the spaces. So we are literally talking about 10 to 15 to 20,000 people on a day-to-day basis who inhabit these spaces. So we want to make art accessible, democratize it, get the outside to the inside by making it easy, not daunting, and available for one and all. And we use the medium of sculpture thus far.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Of course, we've seen the great work, for example, here in London this time around. And we've seen also under what you're doing, supporting a great artist from India. I hope I sound the name right. Suhasini Kanjriwal. I hope I tried. Right. If I didn't,
you did it well.
So we've seen your support of her and of course the result, brilliant. You've seen the work in Regensburg. How has it been like? From the beginning you started to partner with her and seeing what you have seen, you know, in London, how has it been received? What's your experience? And yeah, was it value for money? I'm just being curious.
I think it has been everything that you have sort of questioned and more, because it's literally the placemaking and positioning of women empowerment on a global stage, and we couldn't have asked for more. To imagine a woman's artwork being celebrated on the one of the largest, best examples of a global platform for celebrating sculptural installations, to see her scale to the way she has, and to see the messaging where she's pushing the boundaries and trying to give you the message of global themes. We're talking about ecology, we're talking about the symbiotic relationship that needs to exist with man and nature. So she is actually questioning all of it, and the materiality that she has used, the hybridity of the piece per se, and the detailing and bringing it out to a contemporary audience. And sometimes you need scale in a monumental level to showcase it. Hers isn't so. Hers is at a human scale, at a scale for a young little toddler to actually touch, feel, and sort of interact and have a conversation with. And here you have this work, talking to a little youngster, talking to someone of who can understand it a little more, talking to the young demographic dividend, which is really the significant sector which moves the needle. And I think the cultural relevance that it's tabling here is something to be noted. So it's someone who's been born and brought up in India, who has studied internationally, gone back to India, taken that context, taken all her domain expertise, married the two, and been able to present it, and then being picked by another international curator from Turkey, another young accomplished lady. And this is truly a testament of celebrating humanity, artwork, contemporary culture, and marrying conversations without any global divide. So yes, I think we did well with the commissioning of the work, and we're so happy because one of the main tenets of our foundation is to support artists across their career graph. They are established, but to enable and give a voice on an international stage is a celebration for the artists, for us as enablers, and for the art scene at large. Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. So the Garden of Unearthly Delights, which happened to be a series, knowing her from India and perhaps even from what you have seen the work, do you think in terms of cultural boundaries that exist across different nations, do you think is cutting across the barriers and, you know, being exhibited in London as artwork and, you know, by a female artist as well, do you think it's like cutting down or bringing down the boundaries of culture and what differences that exist therein?
I would believe so. In fact, our relationship with Free Sculpture Park happens to be not just for this year. Last year, we picked up a work of Shekha, and hers again was this beautiful pop of color. It was called the Red Stack, and it was these large scale.
Yes, you're right. You're on the right track. Sorry.
Yeah. So it was these large scale bags, which were one over the other. But in the Indian context, when we look at these mattresses that she had, we would look at it from the lens of a construction company or from anyone in India who has seen food being carried in jute bags. So it could look like a grain of jute, it could look like a grain of cement. So it is everyday objects which are magnified with a pop of color. This enables stirring of a conversation. So there was an artist from the Middle Eastern region who was celebrated and had created a monumental scale, which we acquired for our foundation. And again, this year, there was an artist that we had supported who has been well received. So I think nano steps are being taken, but boundaries are definitely being broken, and there has been a marrying of cultures. There has been inclusivity as far as gender is concerned. There's been inclusivity as far as important subjects. So nobody is looking at anything with an insular lens anymore. It's the overarching theme of looking at world peace, which is most important today, looking at, a better balance of, climate and the balance of nature versus humanity, globalization, ecology, being sustainable. These are important themes that cannot be sidelined. And I think the soft power of art is to enable the messaging and to remind and to build that awareness with the audience in whichever way we can. So, yes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. To our listeners, if you missed Freeze Sculpture Park in Regent's Park, is still ongoing. It started from September 20th this year, and it goes on all the way to 29th of October. Again, you still have a chance. Go and have a look, and you see what we are talking about: sculptures and Suhasini, great artist all the way from India, and her work now pretty much amazing. So don't miss the opportunity. Feel free. Regent's Park in London, not far from central London. So you'll be able to see for yourself what we are talking about here.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Now, back to you, Anu. Back in India, let me just ask you a different question now, because this is great work you're doing. It manifests in different forms, different spheres, from what you are telling us. But what inspired you to find RMZ Foundation? What was the inspiration? Was it in a dream? Did it come to you in a dream? Or
no, not really. I think we started off with varied verticals, and we got officiated in 2015. So we were doing varied activities, because the mainstay is migrant laborers who come in. They're the most vulnerable section of society, and they are displaced. They come away from different regions of India and different cultures. Ours is a subcontinent, which is so diverse. So they come, and they come with the contractor for the building of a project, and that tenure and timeline is anywhere between 3 to 7 years. So they're taken away from their homes for that long duration. So we started out first with trying to give them a sense of place and build a community and create a home, a temporary home, which would have all the facilities. So our first foray into activities in our foundation first started with bringing them home, education, and giving supplementary income and skilling and training, because they are, again, they do not have the academic background, and it's all crafts and work that is handed generationally. So to give supplementary income for their spouses, we started with community building and looking at the migrant community. Later, we realized along the way that this was going to be a staple and a mainstay, but we were blessed with an opportunity of building out an urban infrastructure along the way through the built environment in our for-profit side of the business. And here it seemed like it was a platform that we could utilize for other kinds of messaging and activities. And art came about because of the pure love of it, and seeing it being, having the opportunity to travel the world and see how art is used, and not just relegated to the white cube space in a gallery or within a museum, but there's something that exists like a public art fund. There is something called the 1% that corporates do. We don't have anything like that in our side of the geography. And we took it on ourselves as custodians of keepers of art and culture, and said it is time that in any which way we can, let us try and demonstrate how art can become a tool to enhance and revitalize the space, if we may bring soul to these spaces and build in that emotional wellness to people who use the spaces. So it was really a tool to build communities, collaboration, and messaging, important messaging through the medium of art. And we saw that our blue chip artists were celebrated in regions like UK, Americas, and everywhere else. And these artists who have actually scaled up, who have done works such as Subodh, for example, Gupta, and Dhruva Mistry, have all done large-scale installations, but their works are not really displayed for the public at large. They may exist, but in the private confines of people's homes. So we said it would be an opportunity to bring this upon ourselves, and which is why we took the step a little bold, but it was well received, and it has only initiated us to do more. So it's been a journey of 5 years thus far, and now we're slowly trying to socialize our spaces internally as well, the common lobby spaces, so the medium is not restricted and we can explore with other artists as well.
Oh, and that's brilliant.
And explore different mediums as well. Yeah,
correct. And we even got Elias Sime, another artist from Addis Ababa. We met him at Freeze this time, and we had a wonderful conversation because the medium what he was using was sustainable motherboards of tech parts, you know, which are used and then they get relegated. See, he has repurposed this and he's made these beautiful compositions which can be laid out as carpets or it could be put up. So we did start with 3D tactile outdoor works where which you had to worry about the natural elements and it had to be sturdy. But now we've gone indoors as well. And we have a beautiful work of Elias Sime, and we're waiting to unveil it next year.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing work. So when, in essence, when we are talking about democratizing art, from your point of view, is to, you're supporting, RMZ Foundation is supporting artists so that you give them a bigger platform and get their work, get be seen out there. I think, is that the key thing? Oh, and also, do you see it just going global, whereby you deal with artists from many different other countries except from India?
Yes. So we started from India, and then later we said the perspective cannot stay micro. It has to expand, and it has to be holistic to represent artists from across the board. But the focus, of course, will stay with India, where we will have at least a large percentile of the body of works being represented from the subcontinent. And there would be a significant section which would come in from the global artists, so that we represent them geographically, gender-wise, as well as we can give the audience a fair idea of art that exists across the border. And we'd love to enable a collaboration and cultural exchanges with institutes, galleries, where our works can be presented outside and international works can come in, so there's fresh set of eyes to see the works, as well as our works that revolve across our assets, which is pan-India. We have a presence in Hyderabad, in Chennai, in Bangalore, in Bombay, and Delhi, and also in Pune. So the works should be able to go across the spaces. Some will be the anchor works, but some will move, so that there's accessibility and it'll always be open to the public, free of charge. We're just an ecosystem to enable the arts. So if we may say, it is like an open museum format where art is presented as it would be in a sculpture park to the audience at large, but it's not ticketed. It is for everyone, for one and all. Not just the people who work in the community, but for everyone in the area, as well as people who come in and out of our spaces. Thank you.
I quite like that approach from on the ground and looking internationally, also globally. We've had art seemingly preset and definition of what art should be coming from global capitals. Give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you in London, if you go to South Kensington train station, out there in London, you have about 7 kilometers of museums. And there are a lot of global art seems to be on display. But if you were to connect that art with the original person who came up with it, there's a huge disconnect. And it has been like that for a long time. So from the perception of global capitals and what is on display, you're tempted to think, oh, art should belong to museums. Art should belong to rich people. When they travel in different capitals to pay and get inside this museum and see what is in it. So therefore, from your perspective, the way I understand is you're breaking down those boundaries and those walls and saying art should be for everyone.
Yes. And if I may add, we're also keeping QR codes. So there's a little title, and at the same time, if the person decides to know a little more than just seeing the work or the title of the work, they can self-guide themselves and take a little art walk on their own without being intimidated, without being told how to perceive the art or what one should draw from it. They can get a little context, but it's left up to the audience, up to the onlooker, to sort of unveil the artwork layer by layer and have his or her own perspective on it. But at the same time, we gently allow the audience to understand the artwork better by sharing all the details of the artist, the artwork, the idea behind it, and where each work will be placed. We try and build a storyboard as well and give details as to how the artwork was made, a little bit of photographs, drawings, and sort of build a context to how the origin or the birthing of that art happened. So we're also trying to do this along the way.
And in terms of talking about each country's heritage and the role of art, which art plays, I think perhaps to quote a bit of what you thought, your thoughts of before talking about art, you saw it as a way to preserve cultural identity. Could you just expand on that a bit?
It is, because India is a subcontinent, if I can take that as an example. We have artists who come from different states, and each state has its unique identity as far as its cultural practices, in terms of customs, as far as in a religious context, cuisines, the kind of food they eat, the languages they speak, the landscape, the geographical landscape they come from, which has been so well demonstrated in Suhasini's Unearthly Delights. So there is so much diversity, from agricultural land to something being barren to something being highly tropical, and something like the backwaters, which is, we have the whole gambit of landscape. So here, each artist is able to go back to their immediate setting and build a storyline, not just of what they learned in history books, but of the timeline, say, from their grandparent or their parent to their timeline, just the immediate few decades, and sort of encapsulate it and present it to an audience, which that audience can sort of relate, because it's happening here and now, and it's just a brief throwback of what they remember, a particular place, environment, situation, so to speak. So I think the ability for using art as a tool and a language to capture all of this is immense, and it has been demonstrated. We've had two wonderful such marriages where we had workshops, one with the medium of printmaking, where artists from across India came, and all of them were doing their practices, but they were geographically from different spaces. So there was a lot of cultural exchange there. Then there was a sculpture making workshop So there was artists from different regions, from Kashmir to literally the lowest point down south. So we had each one tabling issues, whether it was an endangered species or a cuisine or a game that used to be played when they were youngsters. So it was a wonderful conversation and a wonderful representation of culture and practices. Yes.
No, I quite like that, because when you go back, it's like in, it's a bit more like writing history books about your country. Is part of heritage. Future generations will make reference to that. So it's really great, and I like that approach to art, because it's one way in which, if you want to learn more about a country, you go through the arts, see what has been there in the past. So the next question would be, perhaps, how has it been so far? I mean, you see, sometimes when people look what you are doing, they look up to you, they say, yeah, you founded this, and they're like, oh, I'm going to have to find my one now, and it looks easy. Has it been easy?
I think, to be very honest, all of us, we have the team and the foundation, I think our narrative is just to build this art ecosystem, and we are very open to embracing everything that it takes to build the same, and we are learners. I think being learners along the way is the most important attribute to have, to be open, and just as how we'd like our art to be open, accessible, I think that's our outlook and our mindshare, to be collaborative, to be open, and to build out a nurturing ecosystem. And along the way, if we make some mistakes, we're happy to say it was work in progress. It's a learning, it's a journey. And I think it'll only be a journey, and it always will be. The idea and the overarching theme is to bring art to the public and democratize it. And so it is. And as we take it along, as any other path will be, sometimes it may seem easy to sort of scurry fast, and sometimes we may have to trod delicately. We will do so, but happily so. I think that is the spirit.
Oh, thank you. And I just wanted to add over here that we like doing justice to all the artworks that we present, so giving it the right setting so that the context kind of carries on is also an important aspect for us. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Very right.
Yeah, that's quite.
She is very right. You know, it is very important along the way to get responsible and see that the works that we are also picking up and adding to the collection will help in building and strengthening the narrative.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Listeners, you've been listening to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Today, privileged and happy to be hosting Anu Menta, founder and managing trustee of the RMZ Foundation in India. Of course, narrative, talking about democratizing art. We are talking about preservation of cultural identities across the globe. We are not looking inwardly to one particular country. We are all children of the same world. So we are going for a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio. But from this point, I just wanted to our listeners to understand how your heart work, because many people, when you talk about art, they only think about paintings. But I can see also in your case, you go out there, you have different things like sculptures and murals. So just like, how does it work? Is it too much work to do and assemble everything together before it goes to the park, like Regent's Park?
So our focus point, if I had not shared earlier, actually has been to present art in a tactile medium, the 3D format. And when we wanted to have art accessible and outdoors, it was the medium of sculptures that we took the focus on initially, and to bring art to the public, to democratize it. So we started out with large-scale sculptural installations. Most of it was commissioned for the space where it was going to be in, the projects itself. So in 2015, when we started out at this eco park in Bangalore called Eco World, we started out with 5 large-scale monumental works. And slowly we went about bringing in more works. So the medium has to be suitable for the outdoors, which is the wind, water, I mean, for rains and everything. So it had to be stone, it had to be bronze, and all of it, which could weather the outdoors. And so a staple of our works have been sculpture medium, only because we said this would sort of entice the audience to come and see and say, what is this standing largely sort of juxtaposed against architectural setting, like the background. Yeah. And architecture is again art. And here there is art which is juxtaposing with architecture. So we have two products of society and economy which are beautifully sort of playing with each other. And so the medium has been sculpture form, and we have picked up some works which are ready works, and most of them have been on the ground, been created for that specific project or site. And both are important because sometimes you see a work and it's almost like it was meant to be in that space, whereas like how we picked up the Shekhar work last year from Free Sculpture. And sometimes the works that we pick up are built along with the project. So the history of that particular site, whether it is, it had a lot of ecology around it. So the overarching theme of that project would become everything to do with sustainability. So we will reach out to artists who are deeply invested in repurposing works out of pre-used material, or being sustainable in sourcing the materiality of the work within the local area, so the carbon miles are lesser. So it's at, or the messaging of the work itself is about the larger issues of sustainability at large. So I think the importance is art is more than its physical form. It has to convey so much more, and we want to create that ecosystem to enable it. And so it's been a journey of taking these works along with our projects. And sometimes it takes much longer because their timelines of creativity and it coming to life is longer. So it's like you're always nudging them and pushing them to get it at the same time, because you want it all received at the same time and celebrated at the same time. Yes.
Wow.
Giving artists so much of an opportunity also. We're presenting them with these opportunities to go really large because our spaces are really large as well sometimes.
I can imagine working on a project and you're like, have to bring the two forces to work together and be first.
Correct.
Wow. Wow. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. But I think the results speaks for itself. I haven't been able to see probably the world you are working in and all that, but I can just imagine how beautiful it is. As you rightly put it, yeah, definitely. Architecture is also art, because whatever their drawings look like, oh, it's inspiration by art. And of course, you may look at a tall building, but if you look at the shape it takes, it was inspired by art. So do you get moments whereby the architects are in conflict with the artist?
So we're realizing that it's important that everyone's on the table at the same time, because everyone's artist in their own right. The architects, the engineers who enable it to be, because they have an analytical mindset, but they also now know how to tie it all together. There's the artist, the architect, then the interior designer who comes in to further make the spaces not just practical, but also aesthetic and artistic. So they're the artist as well. So there's creativity across the ecosystem. And we have to bridge the gap between all of that and see that it all ties up and becomes a unified product for the receiver. So I think art actually bridges that gap very well and sort of, if you may add, puts in a very significant topping to the base that the artist has, the architect has created. Sorry.
So it's the icing on the cake.
Well, more than the icing, a significant icing, where its messaging is also important.
Very true. It's just amazing work you do. And the other thing is that I've seen, of course, we talk about narrative of promoting women and also talking about inclusion. Yet again, the world is a funny place, but of course each culture is different. Different places are different, or some things look in different way places different, but yeah. So what we have in some cases whereby society has moved on quite a lot. The campaign for the girl child has been there for a long time. In some cultures it's like, oh, the boy child is in trouble. So how does this play in your case, especially promotion of female artists vis-a-vis male artists?
So I think an artist is an artist, and gender should actually recede and not take importance, but so that it is included in every which way, we make it a point to see every artist is represented well, and the female voice is especially celebrated. We have immense talent, and we have represented an international global artist called Shekha. We have an artist called Mona that we have picked up, again an international artist. We have local artists who are very globally received and important, like Shilpa Gupta. We have Vibhag Girothra. We have Suhasini Kejriwal. We have brought a lot of Jayashree Burman. We have a lot of artists that we have represented. And even when we've had a sculpture symposium or we've had a printmaking workshop, we've always had the best in class of to showcase their works, their talent, their mediums of expression, their artistic prowess in each of those mediums. So the artist is of importance, and of course both the messaging is important, and of course the gender is equally important, and we have never shied away from representing it. In fact, each and every project of ours has a woman artist on board, and more, if not one.
Indeed. Here.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
And of course, when you look into cultural expression and your ideology of building community together, it brings a picture of giving a voice to people who perhaps didn't have a voice. And that will come through cultural expression, which happens through art. How has it How has that played out, especially in India, when you started to work with artists and through their cultural expression in building community? How has that worked together?
I think India is really the one of the most deeply rooted cultural gold mines, so to speak, of the narrative of humanity as far as culture keeping is concerned. And it's always passed on in the most organic way. It's never been scripted, but it has gone across generations through storytelling, just through passing the entire skill from family to family. And it's always been the women who have sort of been the largest custodians of it. So it's never been an issue per se, even though there has been a lot of challenges that have come along the way in histories. But somehow, culture and tradition and practices have never sort of diminished. In fact, they've always been the heroes that have sort of shone, or the beacon of light in the darkest of tunnels. And I think today, art and contemporary art sort of is again another beacon of hope, of messaging to carry out that voice and take it through. I'm not sure I'm answering your question correctly, and I'm not sure if that is what you were intending for me to share. But I think the exchange of culture and art is strongly knit, and we're using the contemporary art form to relay it, and it's being supported and well received. And India has a young and large demographic dividend, and I think it's one of the tools that we're able to harness, and it's conveying what it needs to.
Thank you. You answered my question very correctly, and I mean, I couldn't have expected more than that. So then the last question of Ian, almost close to the very last one, it's from where you stand, you're doing your bit, and of course somebody said, if you want to see change in society, be the change. And I think you have been the change. So when you look at art and the things you do, and me and you say, let's change the world, what are we supposed to do for the future?
Very early in our journey, we were blessed to receive the Mahatma Gandhi Award for making a bit of cultural change. As you quoted him, I just wanted to share that. But I think what we'd like to focus and be associated with or synonymous is to build a creative ecosystem and enable through the voice of art, and be able to table that art is more than a physical form. And I think really to bridge the art, bridge the gap between art and society with its messaging and appreciation is what we'd like the pivotal role of art to be. It's not just about appreciating it for face value, but to understand the relevance and the placemaking and the positioning that art would take in building the shared histories and visions for the future. Because we can never underestimate the power of art and its importance and its relevance, and we can only be custodians of it. Art is culture, and it is synonymous with all of it. And it is the hope for humanity, to tie humanity, to break boundaries, to keep us all together. And that is what I would say art is. Thank you.
No, that's really brilliant. That's brilliant to capture that. And so probably then, in terms of interaction with the different artists and, you know, this inspiration, collaboration and all that, of course, what we are doing, we are embracing divergent views, divergent diverse cultures, diverse communities globally. So would you see more collaboration with more arts from different countries coming up, different partnership exhibitions happening across?
Definitely, we would love to see that, collaborations with institutes, with artists, residencies where there's cross-pollination of ideas, where they actually situate in the geography itself and it's not being in another space. When you actually are within a particular space, you can learn so much more, taking yourself out of your comfort zone and being in another space. So all the collaborations are important, education, outreach, and the learnings that will come across through this is another element which is important for the foundation. Digital engagement, again, breaks boundaries and barriers and geographies. That is, again, key. And the idea really is to support the emerging talent and break boundaries and support the career graph of artists, whether they're emerging, mid-career, and established. And that is a significant part of programming, not just building works of art and building the collection, but also the programming element and the collaborations is an important vertical that we'd like to invest in, see ourselves supporting.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's been a pleasure. We are learning quite a lot. We could go on forever. But it's not the last time. We welcome you another time. But we have run out of time. To our listeners, stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. I'm Julius Paluto. I've been hosting a great lady. She's done quite a lot of work, and it's Anu Menta, founder and managing trustee of RMZ Foundation, supporting arts, democratizing art, making the world a better place.
Africa in Focus.
Shine. enemy. Jason, I slap police for your case. I go to war for your case. I go to court for your case. I climb the bridge for your case. Enter water for your case. I punch the judge for your case. Anything you want, baby.
It's too